The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the magic hat.
It's the magic hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Oh, ho, ho, it's magic.
Ah, the magic every Thursday at 6:30. And there's a lot of magic in this hat this week. We have a couple carryover magic tricks, I think.
Oh, I'm feeling very magical today.
Are you?
Yeah, it'd be cool to know how to do a magic trick. You guys got any magic tricks?
I got none.
I used to know a card trick.
You seem like a kid who would have been into magic. I don't mean that in a bad... Like, he was watching game shows as a
kid.
And you get to try and interpretate... I'm trying to interpretate what you were like as a kid. You seem like a magic... Does he not seem like somebody... Like, check it out. I could make this card disappear. Like, damn, how'd you do that?
And so, Sarah, this is where my penis disappears. Abracadabra.
Now I'm going to make it grow.
All right, what's the first magic?
A bad influence?
Oh, a bad influence. This is a carryover from last week.
Yeah.
So... I know you guys may or may not, maybe you didn't see this. I don't expect Dirt to see these all the time. Time Magazine released their 100 most influential people, and there was like seven athletes. One of the athletes not on the seven most, or of the seven athletes not in the 100 most influential.
And this is for the last year,
the
right?
The last calendar year. Caitlin Clark is not one of them.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we doing?
And I just want to ask,
what are we doing?
What?
What?
Nah, I know.
The guy who's like the ninth best player on his own team and somebody who brought ratings and revenue to the sport that we have
never seen before.
Never seen it
and
before.
Probably won't ever see again.
I mean.
This was a moment in time of fever that everybody got caught up in. So she's a bad influence? Are we just what are we doing there?
That's a really weird one.
Time Magazine, way out thinking the room on this one.
Way out thinking the room.
Let me look it up real quick. I had it last week, but you never know what the Magic Hat's
I thought there were
us.
Also a couple of WNBA players on
there.
And
were.
Caitlin Clark wasn't one of them?
Nafisha Collier, who's a really good player.
Yes.
She was on the list.
Okay.
Now, I think she was she one of also the founders of the 3-on-3 league?
Yes. Her and Breonna Stewart helped create the unrivaled league.
So, I understand then the premise. She's one of the best players in the WNBA, built a brand new league.
Impactful.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
So, it's Jalen Hurts, which is just like...
No.
I don't get it.
What is he influencing?
I don't understand it at all.
Here we go. Jalen Hurts. Serena Williams? She hasn't played in...
No.
The last tournament she played.
She was fun to watch at the Super Bowl halftime show, but
Breonna Stewart, Nafisha Collier. So you have two WNBA players on there who are good players.
That's for the unrivaled league.
Okay. What did Caitlin do to the WNBA?
Exactly.
She's selling out NBA arenas. Every
Simone
game that they
Biles.
Play in on the road, the team has to go to the NBA arena if there is one in that city because the ticket request is so big.
Simone Biles
okay.
made it.
Sure,
yeah, sure.
Okay. See that.
Yeah, no problem.
Lyon Marchand, a French swimmer.
Okay.
That's the list.
That's the list.
Those are the people on the list.
Okay.
No Caitlin Clark.
That's one of the worst lists I've ever heard.
I've unsubscribed.
If I have a magazine subscription to Time, that's it. I'm out. That list is deserving of no longer purchasing your product.
She might have been the most influential athlete in sports last year.
I mean, you can make the argument over the last 10 years, she's maybe the most influential athlete we've seen.
Oh, with
who has had that
changed.
Level of impact on their sport? In any other sport?
Messi.
Messi. Probably.
Soccer's already huge. Yeah,
no, but the MLS, I will say this about Messi.
Him coming to
you
the
might
MLS.
Not watch it. I might not. Him at the MLS, it did change things drastically.
Maybe it's changing things for their team and the games that they play, but the owners are desperate to get out of that TV deal. It's been a disaster for Apple TV.
Well, when he got there, though, initially, the sign-ups were huge.
Sure. We're talking about taking a sport that, yes, people watched and cared about to making it one of the most watched sporting events of the year.
Yeah, they tried to go mass global.
Beating NBA Finals games and World Series games. And
they need to take more of the approach of the NHL. The NHL is focused on their teams selling out their arenas. They set an attendance record. It was like nearly 97% of capacity of arenas across the league tickets sold this year, over 23 million. They are focused on their individual teams, trying to make sure that there's the following, and they will slowly over time then grow the playoffs and the national game. But the success of the individual clubs in their markets is the most, and that's what the MLS needs to do.
Yeah. All right. What's the next magic trick?
Pink Pony Club.
Oh,
I'm very curious about this.
Oh, I cannot wait for this one.
What is the Pink Pony Club?
Let's just get it going. Okay. You know who really likes this song?
Who is this?
According to CBS News, our defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, reportedly, who's had nothing but chaos within the Defense Department, has ordered the building of a makeup studio so he can be TV ready at any time. Now, he is denying this publicly.
Of course he is.
You gotta be TV ready.
But I would sincerely ask, why would the news make up of all the stories that story?
That's exactly. A pretty funny one. Who sings that song?
That is a Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan.
Okay, I've not listened to much Chapel Roan.
It's basically a song about, boys who grew up in the South that want to move to California and be in drag shows.
And be, oh, okay.
So, you know, they there's nothing.
Be in the Pink Pony Club.
Well, I know this administration town. It's being an alpha male. There's nothing more alpha than any makeup.
Wish somebody put makeup on me every day.
I mean, Defense Secretary of the United States of America.
That'd be nice, you know. Where's my spray tan every day when I walk
about this?
House?
Is Doge going to do anything about this? Is this a way? Is this good use of resources?
My skin's all beat up. What are we doing here? Give me some makeup.
Never mind testing our dairy products for bird flu disease. Let's gut that. But we need a makeup studio for Pete Hegseth to do his Fox News interviews.
Got to have that mascara on, man.
Jesus.
All right, let's squeeze one more in here before we break. We agree with the scribe.
Does it say we
it
or
says,
does it say
we
do?
We agree with the scribe, question mark?
So I saw this. I've been reading, getting ready for the NBA draft lottery.
NBA draft lottery.
Coming around the corner.
May 12th.
And Aaron Frentress wrote about Anfernee Simons having a bad season, but how there was still growth. Not really sure. Anyways, he goes through, uses a lot of good quotes. And at the very end, he gives us his take. And it is, quote, if the Blazers want to win next season, they must either retain Simons or find an equal replacement. While Scoot improved, he did not solidify the idea that he's ready to run a playoff team at point guard. So a couple things to unpack here. One, I know where you're going to sit on should we retain Anfernee
Simons.
And
you get to try and interpretate. I'm trying to interpretate this. And
finding an equal replacement if it's not Anfernee Simons, I don't know how you do that. And then also the idea that they're a playoff team that Scoot is running.
That's your leap next year, man. You had a 15-win improvement this past year, right? Now we're ready for another 15-win improvement. Let's get north of 50 wins. This is the way things go when you already have superstars on your roster. You just take that next aggressive step, similar to the Houston Rockets, who became the 2 seed in the playoffs this past year.
So we agree with the scribe?
I don't think he showed a lot of promise or development. I just kind of think he is what he is, and that's not
well, he is.
Bad.
It's going to be year 7. He's not going to take some crazy leap in his career. He is who he is.
He's about to turn 26 years old. He is a good NBA player. He is a good scorer. He can be an efficient shooter. Like, he brings a lot to a winning team. He's not the guy that's going to drive the bus for a playoff team, and that is the biggest hang up of all this stuff going on. It's almost alarming, though, to me that you're saying I'm supposed to trust the organization and who they're going to draft and develop when the point guard who's going into his third year is still not ready to be a starting point guard in the NBA, or Shaedon Sharpe, who will be going into year 4, is not. I mean, Shaedon Sharpe averaged 18 points per game last year. Can he not take a step? Wouldn't that be a more conceivable notion? Is that a word? Did that properly fit? Of him growing into year 4 and becoming a 22-point-per-game kind of guy and taking that next step offensively? he doesn't need to be on the roster because this is not a team that should have we need to make the playoffs or bust expectations.
Okay, so when we're all sitting here and we got more magic in that old hat, like they go into the season and they start. They don't start well. Are we going to sit here be outraged because they've set playoff expectations, or are we going to pretzel our way into?
No, actually, I just wanted to be closer to the play-in again.
I mean, you know the goalposts will get moved by this fan base. It always does.
It always does.
Always does. The goals and aspirations at the start of the year change drastically to where they are in the middle of the year.
I just want to make sure. I'd love us to be all on the same page for this stuff.
And look, I'll say that like he's going to be on the team next year.
It's going to be, what, the fourth or fifth season next year if they don't make the playoffs of not making the playoffs?
Yes.
I think it'll be the fifth next year.
And you're telling me there's already a superstar on the team, so I can't wait to see who that superstar is next year.
Well, those quotes may come back the way the 53 wins did.
How long do we have to wait for that emerging to take place? Is that going to get kicked to the next year? Well, I mean, just give him more time. He's going into year four, going into year five. You got to give him another year.
Well, Shaden ended on a high, so he's naturally going to start the next season
and
the
way
next
it works.
5 months on the same high.
Denny Avdija was awesome the last 2 months of the year, so he's clearly just going to come out of the gate averaging 30, 10, and 10 at the start of the year next year.
More magic in the old hat next.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back into the old magic hat. It provides us all these great sports stories that happen the last couple days. Where are we at now?
A giant problem?
Oh, that shouldn't have been in there.
No?
Was this on the Giants? Were you going to make fun of the Giants last week?
We have a giant guest. We've already talked about the Giants.
NFL Giants. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was basically what I said last week. Like, what do you do? Your job is on the line. You have to get a quarterback. Now, maybe they trade back into the first, like their son's suggesting, and they do both.
I think they're going to take Jackson Dart third overall tonight.
I think they go Carter and then Dart, but we'll see.
All right, over or under?
Over or under?
Over.
Three very, very popular, highly followed draft pundits released mock drafts yesterday.
Yes, give me the mocks.
And all three had the under of 2.5 quarterbacks in round one. However, one pundit who's not so much known for his mock draft ability, but is very plugged into the NFL, Peter Schrager, ESPN, released one based on what he's heard, gave some predictions, and he's got three. He thinks Shadur goes to Pittsburgh, Cam Ward goes to Tennessee, and he's got the Giants trading back into the first round with the Rams drafting Jackson Dart. Over. Or under 2.5 quarterbacks, because most of the draft pundits believe it's going to be under, but I've been on the over for a long time because of the value of the position.
Well, let's see how this affects or plays out tonight, but I have flip-flopped on my stance on this. I have agreed with you and been on the same over team for the majority of this pre-draft process, but now on the day of the draft, I think I'm flipping to the other side.
Going to the under.
I think I'm going to the under.
Okay.
All the smoke out there, the over-under on where Shador gets picked has just dropped like a stone.
Yep.
Jackson Dart is not a bad bet to maybe be a back end of the first round guy, but we've also seen years where there's been a lot of chatters about quarterbacks, and then you look up and they're still there at the end of the first round going into the second round. And I know Milroe's going to be there tonight, which is an interesting move. Just wants to hang out at Lambeau. It's not a guarantee that he's taken in the first round. He's another candidate maybe for a team to say, what the hell, 27th pick, let's take a flyer on this guy. But when you got three guys who are all question marks, I'm going to take the under tonight. I think the main reason we're all so focused on it is because of the position, the hype around these players, the conversation about quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, I don't know if the NFL teams feel that way, and I think we're only going to get two tonight.
All right, next one, Swigard.
What do we got here? The next one is, turn his TV off. Turn his TV off.
Now, do you know that that's a rap lyric?
No.
That is a Kendrick Lamar rap lyric.
Not familiar with that rhyme.
According to Heather Denich, college football playoff spots could come down to TV ratings. They are considering a criteria.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
They are considering a criteria, and one of them is how a team's TV rating was.
Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah. Why else would you decide who competes for championships?
Remind me, are there just two conferences in the whole sport controlled by media companies?
Pretty much.
These are so funny whenever they get floated out. One, because it's just a ridiculously dumb idea, and it's like, how could you possibly get dumber than what you've already cooked up? But like, let's find a way to get dumber than we were before. It's remarkable. They continue to set a new bar for themselves.
But when all your revenue comes from TV.
Yeah, look, it's also
Penn
hilarious.
State's got great ratings. Why is that?
It's also hilarious that who are the two conferences that get the most eyeballs and ratings?
Yeah. That, yeah.
Who are the two conferences that want more spots? Like, just take your spots. Just take your spots. Yeah.
Just call the big
You're
SEC.
Gonna get your guaranteed spots. You got your guaranteed spots. We don't need some advanced metric to prove, like, you're going to get more teams in. You get more teams in every year. It's just, what are we doing?
Call it the B1G playoff, for God's sakes. All right, go. Let's dive that into the hat. I got. I really want one. I want to see which one you draw here.
Will not so thrilled.
Oh, yes. How about this? Imagine being a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
And you get tips from a legend.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I'm struggling. What do you think? And this is what I would do. And then you get those tips and you go, nah, I'm not going to do that, actually. See ya. Thanks. I'm going to do whatever I want. Will Clark has been trying to give hitters in Major League Baseball tips of how to be better hitters.
Yes.
And basically, they have blown off his advice, and he gave this thought during an interview.
You know, you try to talk to people about that now, and they're like, ah, we don't need to do that. I'm swinging for the fences. I'm like, yeah, it's because you're a f***ing asshole. You don't want to hit 300. You don't want to help your teammates out. And you don't care about striking out. That's why you strike out 150 times and hit 230, 240. So all of you guys in the major leagues that hit 230, 240, 15 homers, 45 RBIs, strike out 150 times, f*** you, mother. You guys are not hitters. There you go. Boom.
Well done. Well done. Will Clark's one of a kind, man. He is one of a kind. He is as red ass as you could possibly find. His interviews are always hilarious. And I agree with the assessment.
By the way,
guy was a pretty good hitter in his big league career. Pretty damn good.
He's basically doing that because he was told to give a hot take. And so he was giving his thoughts on hitting. And then he added the bombs in there. So.
I do miss hitters wanting. I don't know when the shift went where it was okay to strike out 100, 150. I mean, that
used to get booted from the big leagues if you struck out 170 times a year.
If you were doing that, if you weren't making productive outs, if you were just up there Rob Deering it, man, you were a joke.
Have you guys adjusted your mindsets watching your teams play? Like, I know I've done this as a Braves fan. I look at my lineup, and sometimes I watch the game with the stats on the screen. So the game screen's a little smaller, but my stats are up. And I'll always be checking, and I'll be looking like, okay, one hitter, 300. Oh, 250? Like, do you guys look at 250 now and like, get happy about it? Because I used to look at it and go, God, he sucks.
Yeah, 250, I don't know if I get happy about, but I'm not angry about it.
At 250,
now it's like you're acceptable.
Now I'm looking to see what he's doing. Like, okay, so you have a lot of RBIs, so maybe you're getting sack flies and those sorts of things.
Right.
Are you productive? 250 is tolerable.
Yeah, I don't know when if the trend will ever kick back fully the way that it used to. But, look, I'm only watching my team, so I have no clue what the other teams are doing. That's how we all are as baseball fans for the most part. They're bunting this year. They're stealing bases. There's like, hey, let's get guys over. There is an aspect of enjoying watching it again where it's not lefty-righty matchup, swing for the fence, because that's what the analytics tell us is the absolute best thing to do.
There is the Magic Hat. We do it every Thursday at 6:30.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.